Hi, it's great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, it's sort of late summer movie time. Plenty of us are getting out to the movies. We've seen a few of recent times, especially Natasha. You've seen a few of these. I've seen one. So let's start with the first one that you saw, The Big Short. Now, this film is focusing on the global financial crisis. It's hard to get that story in a sort of movie form, I imagine, in a way that's going to be interesting. Is it really boring? How did that go?
Well, it's actually not boring at all. I mean, I almost surprised myself by wanting to go to this film. There's probably nobody who's less interested in the financial world.
Possibly me.
But it's actually an excellent film. I really enjoyed it. And it goes to great lengths to make these really complicated ideas intelligible to just the average person on the street. So I know now what a mortgage-backed security is and what a credit default swap is. I mean, I don't think I could explain them to you, but I know.
But even that doesn't sort of grab anyone, possibly not me.
No.
In some way or other, it seems that this film's been able to capture what is a very, very significant period of recent history for all of us and make it sort of make sense as well as be compelling as a story.
Yeah, it's really fast-paced. It's got great actors in it. And it's also got all these famous people in it. Every now and then they go, okay, this is a really complicated bit. And so they get a famous chef or a famous actress. They get Selena Gomez or Margot Robbie or someone to give a kind of analogy for what they're talking about. So you do, it really does carry you along with it.
So this is picking up on some of these people who saw some of these problems emerging, but did they choose to take personal advantage from them?
Yeah, this is one of the interesting ethical challenges of the film, I guess, because, you know, you get really involved with the logic of the story. So there's everybody who's backing this really corrupt and actually really fragile housing market. And these particular guys see that there's something really wrong. And the way they respond to that is not by going, oh, we need to, you know, go to the government or, you know, this needs to be regulated better. They go, well, we'll bet against the market and we'll make squillions of dollars because, you know, we've seen this problem that no one else can see. And really, you get caught up in that and you want them to win. You want their bet to pay off. Whereas in actual fact, and there are moments in the film where they do kind of take note of the problems in this logic. So there's this one moment, Brad Pitt is in it and he's helping out these young guys who are trying to make this big trade. And there's a point where the young guys are really triumphant because something's going really well for them. And they're like, yeah, the market's totally about to crash. And Brad Pitt turns to them and he's like, for every 1% that unemployment increases, 40,000 people die. You know, that's what you have to remember here.
It's a and deflating completely moment for deflated. These traders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does the sort of ethical complexity of that story come out in the film?
It does, particularly in Steve Carell's character. He really wants to get the big banks, really hates corruption and exploitation. So he does kind of make a lot of money out of what happens, but he also feels bad about it. And I think that really the important thing about this film is that it does make understandable and even entertaining, like interesting, something that most of us just find really hard to think about. But that it's really important that we do talk about.
What about the idea that people's actions, in this case, what could be considered quite unethical actions, have incredible repercussions for people down the line?
Yeah, so it mostly focuses on the Wall Street people and they're kind of wrestling with that. But it also does a good job of showing you some of the people down the chain who are actually affected, whose lives are really destroyed by what happened. So I think it does a great job overall.
Michael, how are you?
I found something really interesting.
The whole housing market is propped up on these bad loans.
There's some shady stuff going down.
All the banks were having a big old party. A few outsiders saw it when no one else could.
The whole world economy might collapse.
I'm sure the world's banks have more incentives than greed.
You're wrong.
Okay, well, that's The Big Short. The next one I want to ask you about is Brooklyn. I haven't seen this film, but I have read the book. It's by Colm Tobin. It's a great book, beautifully written, lovely story of kind of the Irish story of immigration from Ireland to America. Tell us a little bit about this film.
Yeah, it's quite a delightful film. It's really enjoyable to watch. It's beautiful visually, both in Ireland and in New York. So it's about this girl called Eilish who, it's early 1950s. There's nothing for her in Ireland. You know, she can't get a job. And she moves to New York. She's at first terribly homesick, but she starts to kind of build a life for herself there. She starts going out with this nice Italian boy and kind of falls in love with him. And then there's a family tragedy at home and she has to go home to Ireland for a while. And then it becomes this kind of choice that she has to make between her life and this guy that she loves in New York and her life at home in Ireland and a guy that she falls for there.
And this story, from my memory from the book, is that there's a important kind of ethical choice that she makes that has huge repercussions in her life and leaves the reader, in this case the viewer, feeling strongly about it. How did that affect you in the film?
Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to give any spoilers here because it is, you know, it is kind of a big choice that she has to make. And I did almost feel a bit manipulated by the film that, you know, the logic of a romantic film is that you want a certain thing to happen. And whether or not that's the most ethical thing to happen is a very different question. So, you know, she is very caught between these two men, but also these two lives that she's imagined for herself. And, you know, I think it does kind of play out this idea of, well, is what the heart wants, is that the same thing as what she should do? You know, what is the right choice here? And I think it really dramatizes that kind of dilemma.
Ireland must seem very backward to you now.
Is that Jim Farrell I saw? He's a catch for someone.
I have a life halfway across the sea.
Your life here could be just as good.
If you go back, I have nobody.
I want you to stay here with me.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. And today we're talking about the movies, some of the movies that are out this Oscar season. We've been to see a few of them. Simon, you went to see a film called 45 Years.
Yes, I did. And thanks a lot for this because you got to see, I think, some of the great
yeah,
films that are out at the moment.
Sending
I got
this
to
one.
See 45 Years.
But yes. It is a good film, isn't it? It's got some pretty great actors in it.
It does. It has Charlotte Rampling. Lots of people will know her from their French art house films, sometimes British ones. The film's set in the Norfolk countryside in England. It's sort of the autumn setting, which is reflective of their declining years, I have to say.
I'm getting a picture that it's not a very fast-paced movie.
It is not. It's not for the people who love sort of action movies, for sure. It will please lots of people, though. It's getting heaps of nominations for Best Actress and this sort of stuff. So it is actually very, very beautifully put together.
And it's about a couple who they're coming up to their 45-year wedding anniversary, and something comes out about the husband's girlfriend that he had before they were married. About she died in a mountaineering accident. Is that right?
That's right. So this couple who they look to have this fabulous relationship, like they're sort of lovely older couple who've managed to live together for a long time and still really love each other. But this is kind of rocked a bit during the early part of the film, where he gets a letter to say this girl who he had been in love with years ago and was killed in a mountaineering accident, she was lost down a crevasse and her body has just been found. So here he is in his probably 70s. He's got this letter to say she's been found. And weirdly, she's been preserved, you know, in the ice. So she, I guess, looks like she did when she was 25 or whatever, right, when this happened, while he and his wife have sort of aged. So that adds a sort of unusual part to this, because you're sort of sensing this passing of time. And with that come a whole lot of kind of regrets and so on. But it's very destabilizing for them. So the character played by Charlotte Rampling does this incredible job of showing a woman who can't help but feel like her world, which has been constructed over a long period of time, is starting to unravel as the husband she's been with for this length of time, through this incident, seems to sort of drift further and further from her. And so it leaves this sort of shadow over everything, even in the lead up to this great celebration of their marriage.
So what kind of picture does it give of, you know, a marriage and of very, very long-term relationships?
Not a very positive one, and so I felt a bit depressed by the end. And a review I read about this in Time said, the devastating truth of 45 years is that even the most devoted couples are made up of two people who are essentially alone.
Gosh.
The idea is that the strength of their marriage is dependent on whatever the bridge they can construct between them, each other. And in this case, the bridge is looking like it's starting to crumble. I won't give the ending away, but it's pretty dramatic. And there's a sense in which, sort of a sense of hopelessness, which I found a bit depressing. I'd like to think the bridge you can build with hard work can be a lot more stable than the one we see in this film.
This really is a great venue for an anniversary. So full of history, you see. Like a good marriage.
What is it?
They found her. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
We never talked about it. In all the years that we've known each other. And it's tainted everything.
So after that endurance test, you were sent off to see Spotlight. Now, this is, again, a very highly acclaimed film about the Boston Globe journalist who broke the story in 2002 of the dozens of priests in the Boston area who had been molesting children for years and years, and the Catholic Church hierarchy had been covering it up. This is not a light film, presumably, either.
No, it isn't. I mean, obviously, it isn't a light film. It's been nominated for Best Picture for this year's Oscars and apparently has quite a good chance of winning, actually. And I do think it was a brilliant film. I mean, as with The Big Short, this is a story that we need to not forget about, something that we need to keep talking about, but something that's quite hard to talk about. So in the case of The Big Short, it's because it's kind of boring and kind of hard to understand. In this case, it's because it's such a horrible topic to talk about, the sexual abuse of children by priests. But I think films like this one, you know, it kind of approaches it from an angle. It's not directly about the abuse. It's about these journalists and them kind of going on this journey of uncovering what's been happening and being so shocked that it could be so widespread and have been covered up to such a great extent and for so long by the church hierarchy.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a sort of a mystery that they're uncovering, and it's a pretty horrific story that they find.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a very clever way of approaching it because, you know, you're really behind these journalists. You really want them to find out the truth. And I think one of the cleverest things about the film is that instead of kind of pitting these heroic journalists against this terrible Catholic hierarchy, it's quite specific to Boston as a place that everyone is kind of involved in this. You know, the lawyers, the church, but the journalists as well are kind of complicit in how this has been covered up. There's a really telling moment in the movie where one of them says to another, you know, well, if it takes a village to raise a child, actually it takes a village to abuse a child. This has been covered up at lots of levels. The journalists themselves had kind of been half covering, you know, isolated cases, accusations of priests, and hadn't really put these pieces together and hadn't really wanted to, because there was so much, you know, involvement in Boston. Everybody's kind of associated with the Catholic Church in some way, and they just didn't want this to be true. And so there's a sense in which they kind of acknowledge their own guilt and go, you know, we've all failed the children in this case.
So it's a clear case of people, perhaps some of them good people, turning away from things that they really should have faced up to and brought into the light.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's exactly, in some ways, the story that we all need to be hearing, because it's very easy to kind of blame people and kind of go, those people over there are the bad ones and we're all morally righteous and exempt over here. So this film really challenges that idea and goes, where have we all been? You know, how can we all have let this happen? And so I think it's a really important film.
I know there's things you cannot tell me, but I also know there's a story here and I think everybody will hear about it. Trying to get some background information.
I don't want you recording this in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
So that's your summer movie viewing, perhaps, at least some of those. So that's The Big Short, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and 45 Years. if you're game. You've been listening to Life and Faith from Centre for Public Christianity. Great to have your company. We'll see you next time.